You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I also spoke to University of Auckland Senior Lecturer of Architecture and Planning, Dr. Elizabeth Aitken-Rose, about the government's plans to address the housing crisis in light of Chris Bishop's announcements last week. I started our interview asking her about what the key changes were that Bishop announced.
Well, essentially what he is doing is he is expanding policies that have been supported by the previous government. Indeed, it was various cross-government resolutions to ease up land supply for housing. And he's talking about dismissing metropolitan urban boundaries, or rural urban boundaries as they're called, which essentially impose a limit on the expansion of city growth into the countryside. And this is the countryside to preserve productive lands, farming, access to recreation, conservation areas, and so on. He's also easing the rules to, he says, to increase intensification in cities, which means essentially to use the land that we have within those metropolitan urban limits to develop more intensely. So medium density housing, apartments, granny flats on the back of sections. He talks about how this should be oriented around transit, which presumably he means public transit, so, you know, around train stations and bus lines, and, you know, you can build up higher with greater densities close to those transport areas. He's also talking about relaxing standards, so no longer a floor area, minimum floor area requirement, abolishing balconies, and so on. And this is also in line with essentially things that have gone on over the last probably 10 years, really. The solution is always, yeah, the problem with housing, the problem with affordable housing is land supply. Land supply certainly contributes, but that's not the problem at all. The real problem is actually the complexity of our housing market. It's about our supply chains, so, you know, lots of building supply, material supply monopolies, shortage of construction industries, and so on. So there's always a limitation there. And also, you know, for most people, it's actually having access into the housing market. So, in fact, housing costs have accelerated, people's incomes haven't. And now, of course, interest rates have become much more trying for new home buyers.
And these announcements have had quite varied responses, with some welcoming them and others quite critical. Adding on to what you were saying there about relaxing standards, are you concerned about the quality and standard of these homes that could be built under these changes?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I think politicians often require instant fixes for problems. We'll just ease everything up and more houses will be built and everyone will be happy. But the quality of the housing that has actually been constructed with the easing of these many regulations to date and will go on really is very problematic. So we're starting to talk about essentially the development of potential long-term slums. No light, air, access to basic amenities, lack of provision of, you know, suitable green areas, open spaces, and most of all, lack of provision of adequate infrastructure. And here we're talking about water supply, sanitation, energy, and also the social infrastructure, so schools and health facilities and community facilities, the things that really build communities. What might serve and, you know, solve an immediate problem, at least in political eyes, down the track is going to create huge problems in terms of substandard building.
To kind of add on to what you're saying there about solving an immediate problem, do you think these changes will make housing more affordable, or will it become more expensive down the line? Are they adequately addressing the housing crisis in that way?
No, they're not. No. It seems like a sort of, you know, a simple lever, but it's a simple lever that's been tried, and housing has become less and less affordable in New Zealand as we've actually eased up the various building standards and planning requirements. So we can now build whatever we like on the back of our sections if we've got big enough sections. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they'll happen. And that's actually one of the real problems. You know, I live in Auckland, so I have kept a close eye on the Auckland Unitary Plan, which came in 2016. And that was based in a framework of, you know, lots of evidence-based planning that's been going going on, you know, looking for years, looking at Auckland's growth and how it should be phased, you know, over the next 30 to 50 years. So the unitary plan has been done within that context, and particularly in this case, the Auckland plan. And a lot of thought went into it, and consultation and so on. And in fact, the land that was zoned within the Auckland region was more than adequate to actually cope with new housing needs, etc. But that doesn't necessarily mean, and it hasn't meant, that that land is actually utilised for those purposes, because it depends on whether or not the owners are going to make that available, whether or not you've got the resources to develop it at the time. Often it involves consolidation of titles and so on. So, you know, we have a lot of, if you like, underdeveloped land in terms of the densities that are possible, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it happened.
And just lastly, what do you think our government should then be doing to better address issues in the housing market?
I think I think rather than just sort of easing up regulations, and can I say that deregulation too, we have a magnificent example of the long-term costs of this in terms of the leaky building crisis, which has gone on and on, huge cost to private owners and also to the public. So that's an example of deregulation. But to return to your question, I really think that we've actually got to incentivise developers to do the right thing in the right places. As things stand at the moment, it's a bit of a wild west frontier. We have plans, but in fact, a lot of our development happens through private plan changes, you know, which are very development led and don't necessarily have, you know, any of the infrastructure covered. We build before we have public transit, for instance. We build before we have community centres. So I think we need to be thinking a lot more about how we build communities and what the incentives for that are. And I think we need actually to give greater incentives to first home buyers so that they can enter the market, low interest mortgages and so on. And I think we really have to tackle the problem of social housing in New Zealand. The government is basically looking at giving this responsibility to non-government organisations such as housing associations. And there's some really good examples of this working well on a very small scale in New Zealand. But again, it's going to take a lot of money, and the government will need to invest in that form of institution if it thinks it's going to develop, you know, deliver the kinds of outcomes it expects.
That was University of Auckland Senior Lecturer of Architecture and Planning, Dr. Elizabeth Aitken-Rose, speaking to me about announced changes to housing policy. Text us in on 5395 if you have any thoughts on these pieces. We'll be right back. Keep it on the B.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.